I'm going to hit you three words tonight. Hard, fast, and continuous. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. And because we're busy building something. And if we don't build it on the word and we don't understand what the word says about it, then we kind of like are building our own thing. And so we always want to be rooted in the word. And so I'm going to throw out a lot of scriptures. If you don't get to read them with me, they'll hopefully be on the screen if Mr. Screen Man can keep up. So I want to continue on prayer. And last week, Cassie really just whetted our appetites and gave us some amazing things to hold on to as we build. And so I'm looking forward to tomorrow and Wednesday, Tuesday. Yeah? Yeah? No, you need to be in agreement before we get there. Okay. We are in agreement that God's going to change something. God's going to shift something in our life. Amen. That's safe. So we're getting there. So in Proverbs 4 verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. You see, we want to be clever, but we also need to understand how God puts this whole thing together. How does it work? You can take all the parts of an engine and throw them together, but if you don't put them in sequence, if you don't put all the timing and everything right, that's just a lot of metal there and it's going to do nothing for you. And sometimes the word can be like that. And so when we read through the Bible, I'm going to give you a lot of information now. We will rewind and we're going to go through these things a little bit later. But the dynamics to a prayer life is relationship. Number one. Number two, obedience. You'll notice that the amens get less and less. It's okay. Because it gets closer to home. Number three, Holy Spirit. He wants to be part of our life. He wants to work through us. Honor. Something you don't really read about. But yet when you read in the word, you're going to read about honor. Worship. Part of the dynamics of prayer life. Humility. The power in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Those are things that we need to learn about. So we put all those into our prayer life. When you read the Bible, we have different types of prayer. And Ephesians 6 tells us that. Pray with all kinds of prayer. And then in Philippians 4, it talks about the prayer of thanksgiving. And also Philippians 4 talks about the prayer of supplication and petition. In Matthew 18, it talks about the prayer of agreement. In James 5, it talks about the prayer of faith. In 1 Timothy 2, it talks about the prayer of intercession. And Ephesians 6 is back again. It's just praying in the Spirit. Some of us didn't even know that there was that sort of dimension to prayer. Yes, sir. Do you want to go over those again? They are. I told you I'm going to hit you hard, fast, and continuous. If you want my notes on this, you can get them as well. Okay, so there's just going to be a lot of information. And because we've been ministering on Matthew chapter 6 in the sense of when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Okay. So we're going to kind of like, I'm just trying to knit this in over there. And in Matthew chapter 6, we see what they either call the model prayer, the royal prayer. It's also called the Lord's prayer, but I believe it's actually the believer's prayer. Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And you pick it up in Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 5, when you pray, and then he says in verse 9, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to the words that Jesus is actually saying in this. He says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, I don't believe that he put it out there just so we could recite that. I believe that that is a skeleton that you and I can put some flesh onto. And it can add a dimension to our prayer life. It can actually give our prayer life some legs to run with. It actually gives us things where we can now go and find scripture and put it in there. And we can make our prayer life into a declaration that rocks the works of darkness and sees the kingdom of God established. It has such depth. It gives us so much ammunition against the enemy. But what you also need to know is that this, Jesus was teaching this basically right at the beginning of his ministry. And so you'll notice that in that, he doesn't talk about things. So he doesn't talk about praying in the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And he doesn't talk about praying in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus hadn't become the final sacrifice that beat the enemy. But we see that picking up in Acts, in the book of Acts. And so just an example in the sense of, he says, deliver us from evil. And you see, if you go into the Old Testament, you see how they really relied on the Lord to deliver them. But when you come into the New Testament, and all of a sudden, as you see it in John chapter 1:40, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that's speaking about Jesus. But then in James 4, it also says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's your and my response. God's not going to arm wrestle you to do that. That's your and my responsibility, is that I will come and I will submit to God's leadership, God's authority in my life. Right? You see, God's not going to, he's not going to fight you. He's created the opportunity for us to be able to just come into his presence. And I want to say this, that sometimes we find yourself, and the reason why I'm saying this is because there was a time in my life. There's times when we are rather looking for forgiveness than permission. Think about it. We are sometimes rather going for the forgiveness than permission. And that's a huge difference. And the reason why it is because when you and I give the enemy a foothold, he doesn't let go easy. And so if we're going to be living our Christian life like that, I want to tell you, the enemy's going to bat you all over the place. Because you're giving him room to work. The Bible says that we need to flee from sin. We need to run from it. Don't go and play in it. And I'm asking us that we would live a life of one that we submit to God. The second thing that we'll see there, that Jesus doesn't pray, we don't pray in his name. And in John chapter 16, verse 22, 23, it says this, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, some Bible says truly, truly, others say verily, verily. It says, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And in 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we see here that Jesus came to mess up the plans of the devil, to defeat him completely. So the only authority that the enemy has in your and my life now is what I give him. All right, are we all on the same page? So he didn't tell him to pray in his name. And then the last one is, he didn't tell him to pray in the Holy Spirit either, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And okay, so we're going to, Robbie, I hope you're going to follow me, but I'm going to move right down now and just go right into the prayer, because I've got time restraints. And so in John chapter 14, he says this, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will prepare a place for you. I will come back to receive you, that where I am, you may be also. So we understand that our destiny is to be with the Father forever. So he gives us the prayer now, and I want to just open that prayer up a little bit. I want you to think about it as you, now you don't have to do everything. You can do parts of it. There's no formula to this thing, but here's something that's going to help you and I as we pray and also understand another dimension of it. So he says in verse 9 in Matthew 6, I've gone too far. Going back. So Jesus is prominent in all this thing. So he says, our Father. This is a believer's prayer. He's saying, our Father. You see, you can't say our Father if there's no relationship there. That is why it's important that you and I are in a relationship with the Father. And Jesus came to declare the Father to us. In John 1:18. No one has seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him. And then John 10:30 says, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So he says this, you see me? You've seen the Father. So what happens is, the authority of this prayer is because I now call him Father. I call him my Father. He is my Father. He's taken over ownership. He is the ruler of my life. In John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So that's the first thing is you need to understand, Jesus came to point us to the Father and to see the Father, the way he lived. In verse 9, he says, our Father, where? In heaven. That's very important. Because there are many gods in the world today. But there's only one God that occupies heaven. His name is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. He's the God that we bow to. He's the one that we've given our life for and our life to. And so here we're clarifying which God are we speaking to. And in John 13:3, Jesus says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, he was going back to God. So if we're going to spend eternity with him, that's where we're going to. We're going to spend eternity with our Father. Amen. That's a good thing to know. And John 14:1, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, and there where I am, and you may also be there. So we see that here we are all, we're identifying who God is and where he is from. Then hallowed be his name, is worship. Hallowed be his name. So in your prayer life, you can acknowledge, Father, I thank you. You are my Father. I thank you that I'm purchased by the blood of your Son. I belong to you. I am your child. I am your son. I am your daughter. These are the kind of things that we can start to declare in our prayer life as we start to just enter the presence of the Lord. Identifying who he is. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Worship. Magnifying his name. Jesus never promoted himself. He always promoted the Father. And I want to say this, that whenever you and I are in trouble, watch what comes out of your mouth. Because it's very easy to start to promote the problem that I'm facing. It's very easy because my whole life is so consumed with the challenges. And when I open my eyes and everywhere I turn, this thing's hitting me in the face. And I can be so consumed with that. And then all of a sudden, that thing starts to determine my world. And that's not true. Because God determines my world. And so therefore, I hallow his name. I don't care how tough life, I do care, but it doesn't matter how tough life is at the moment. I make sure that I start to magnify the name of Jesus, because that which I magnify is that which I turn to. John 17:26, I've declared to them your name. And this is what worship is. That's why worship becomes so important. Worship's not an emotional thing. Worship is a choice thing. I'm going to say it again. Worship is not an emotional thing. Guaranteed on a Sunday afternoon, maybe this is the last place you want to be. Maybe your bed and your pillow is calling much stronger than, yeah. Maybe lunch was a bit too much. Maybe the week has been so tough and this is the last moment for you to be able to get your nap before tomorrow. And so you come here and think, oh, if I don't come, then everybody's going to ask, where were you? And then what am I going to say? But I want to say this. You want to re-energize yourself? You want to fill yourself up? Then this is where you need to be. In amongst brothers and sisters, worship and magnifying God. Not because I feel like it, because that's what he's called me to. That's what he's asked me. And it's a weapon in my hand. Listen, you can go to war and you can have a rifle in your hand, but if you don't use it, it's just a burden to you. Here's another thing. Worship teams are not here to entertain you and I. They're just to create the opportunity for you and I to get lost in his presence. And if I will dive into that, and if I will do what the word says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When I don't feel like it, man, I start to jump. And when I don't feel like it, I start to clap. And I start to just sing. And when there's a gap and they kind of like giving some room, then I'm going into the spirit. And I'm singing as best that I can with the worship team. Why? Because I am bringing everything that I have to his presence. Because the Bible says, hallowed be his name. Sure, I'm preaching myself happy right now. Then he says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Have you thought about that? Your kingdom come. So where is his kingdom going to come from? It's going to come through us, but it's going to come from what's the example? What's the mirror that's going to reflect it? Heaven's going to do that. Yes or no? So I'm asking you, in heaven right now, is it a sad place? No. But he's saying, your kingdom come. But yet I'm sad. And yet the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there you are. What am I going to do now? What a choice to make. I want his kingdom to come. Hey, listen, sometimes I have to faith it to make it. I don't fake it. I faith it. I do my part. I remember one time, I was in a job cleaning airplanes trying to, and I think I've told you the story before. So cleaning airplanes is a job while trying to keep myself alive while trying to plant a church at the same time. And airplanes fly 7 days a week. And it's from early morning to late at night. Going from 12 to 18 hours a day, that's just the norm. And after, I think it was about a year and a half, I was tired. And I remember the one Sunday, the airplane was late. And for the first time, I would come to church for the first two songs and then I would have to leave. And for the first time, I could sit through the whole of praise and worship and a bit of the word. And that morning I said, God, I'm coming to you. I am so desperate. I am so dry. I am going to dance. I am going to clap. I am going to sing so loud. I'll lose my voice, but it doesn't matter. I'm coming with everything that I have. I can't tell you what that day did for me. You see, if you're desperate, desperate times call for different, desperate measures. How desperate are you and I to see God change something? It's easy to cry out for one time, God, but to cry out every single day, all the time, for one day, for 2 days, for a week, for a month, for 6 months, knowing my God's going to come through for me. My God's going to come through for me. Your kingdom come. So listen to this. Your kingdom come, but your kingdom comes how? Through salvation. So that's the starting point of the coming of the kingdom. So he says in John 3:3, most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see. When you're on the wrong side of the veil, this stuff that I'm telling you doesn't make sense to nothing. It's like you lost your marbles. Because when the veil is there, you don't understand God. And it's only when I give my son my life and I invite him into my life and I declare him as my Lord that veil is taken. And then all of a sudden these things start to make sense. But then he goes on to verse 5, John 3:5. He says, most surely I say to you, unless as one is born of the water, which is your physical birth, and of the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. So he's talking about your kingdom is going to come, but it's going to come by the beginning of through salvation. That is why it's important for us as a church. We need to be looking for the lost. Why? Because Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Becomes part of my prayer life. So in our prayer, we need to be crying out for the lost. Where am I now? Somewhere in you. Matthew 10, your will be done. Your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about you, but I desire the will of God to manifest. I want to walk in his will. I want to make sure that I'm in his perfect will for my life. I don't want to be outside that because outside that is chaos. And so in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My will is to do his work and to finish it. Finish it. Not half. Not a little bit. I want to finish that. In John 5:30, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, I want you to think about Jesus' life very quickly. It might seem very great because wherever he went, he saw miracles and he provided food for people and all that kind of stuff. But then he went to the cross. I don't think that was a comfortable experience. I've hit my hand with a hammer. I've never had a nail go through. In fact, no, the other day I was actually with a drilling machine and the drill came off and went into my finger. It wasn't comfortable. No, it was really not uncomfortable. So can you imagine? So I'm just trying to say that what Jesus went through. So sometimes the fulfilling the will of God might not be comfortable, but it's wonderful. If you can just keep going till the other side. When Jesus sent the disciples in the boat to the other side, he didn't say go to the middle and drown. He said go to the other side. But in the middle, they hit the storm. Somewhere along the line in you and I fulfilling the will of God here on earth, storms are going to come. In fact, there's a scripture that says, when the wind blows, when the storms, when it rains, it's not if, it's when. They're coming. You and I need to understand God has a purpose and we're going to the other side. And when trouble hits your life, you and I need to know, I'm going to the other side. I'm not sinking. He didn't bring me this far just to abandon me. He brought me this far because he's taking me somewhere. Come on. He's taking you somewhere. In John 6:38, it says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who has sent it. And that, what is that? That is restoring humanity back to God, bringing back the original plan and purpose that God had, restoring the environment we live in back to the original, the godly environment. How many of you enjoy being in this kind of family atmosphere and you enjoy it and then you go back to work? And you've got everybody that kind of like telling bad jokes and swearing and all that environment and then you long back for this again. And God wants to restore that. That's why he put you where you are, because there's a fragrance of Jesus upon your life that he wants to just permeate in amongst there and bring conviction on people so people will turn from their wicked ways. Then in Matthew 6:11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So you've got your physical bread. And you got your spiritual bread. The Bible tells me that Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. And John 6:32, it says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So he's talking about himself. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So your day without Jesus is starvation. If you don't feed your physical body, and Monday and Tuesday, you might find out a little bit, something's going to complain. Something's not going to have the energy level that it used to have when it was being fed all the time. So without food, you die. You're made to feed your body. I want to tell you, your spiritual man is exactly the same. If you and I don't feed our spiritual man, we will die. So the picture here is food fills us. But I want to say to you, the world cannot satisfy you. It presents itself in a way that seems entertaining. It presents itself in a way that, wow, this is what I need. How many of you, you've seen something the other day? I can't remember what it was. We walked past one of these little shops that have all these nice little cookie things. And I thought, man, I really feel lust for that. And we bought it. I can't remember what it was. But man, when I ate it, it didn't taste what it looked like. It didn't give that goosebump thing stuff that, you know, when you eat something that's so nice and it's like, yeah, I could do with more of that. It was like, ah, this is like sand in your mouth. And I want to say that the world is pretty much like that. The world, as it doesn't matter how it presents itself, it cannot satisfy you. It'll turn bitter on you. And that is why we need to be careful. That's why when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, run away from sin. That stuff, it's entertaining to get your attention, but it doesn't keep you. It destroys you. And so as we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. Thank Him for the Spirit of life in us. Thank Him for the Word that's on the inside of us. Thank Him that His Word is working mightily in us. His Word is shaping us. His Word is changing us to become more and more like Him. But at the same time, Father, thank You that You're providing my physical needs so that I can stay alive, that I can pay my bills, that I can be an honorable person, that I have a great testimony, not somebody who's everybody's looking for because they owe them stuff. And then verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. I think that is the, what's the word I'm looking for? The most refreshing thought is to know that my sins have been forgiven. My debt that I had is over. I remember, I think it was one thing that we loaned money to do. And man, you go and loan the money to do the thing. And then when you have to pay that thing every month, it's like this loose around your neck that kind of just makes life tough. And I remember paying off the last amount and how free I felt after that. And so having our sins forgiven is that freedom. And Jesus came and He forgave us. And He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But He requires that you and I forgive others as well. So I know that none of you have been disappointed in life. I know that none of you have been hurt or lied about. I know none of you have been treated badly. But I have. There's nobody sitting in this room that hasn't been down that road. Somewhere along the line, somebody's done that to us. Disappointed us, promised some certain things, and that thing never ever came. And then all of a sudden, you know, and it could be in a time that you were seriously desperate. And you desperately needed help, and then that help never came. But you see, for a moment, we took our eyes off who Jesus is, and we put our eyes on someone because someone promised to help us. Are you still carrying people around in your heart that kind of disappointed you a while ago? Is there unforgiveness in your life? Are there people that you have not forgiven? That every time you think about them, your heart rate goes up, your thought life becomes bad. Are you there? I want to encourage you strongly today. It's time to let those things go. Some people have carried so much. In fact, that when you don't forgive, it turns to bitterness. And Hebrews tells, be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't rise up and defile many. And so what happens is when you start to talk about that person, it's almost like venom comes out of you. And then you're in a bad place. I mean, some people are so bad they can tell you the name, the place, the event, the detail. They can give you everything. And it happened 40 years ago. And I'm thinking, that's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. John 20:23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. So don't become bitter. Then verse 13 it says, and do not lead us into temptation. Jesus does not lead you into temptation. He faced that. He dealt with it. He beat it. And He's provided that. In fact, He actually says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overcome you except that is common to man. Paul's writing this. He says, but God is faithful. Please say that. God is faithful. No. You didn't say it with faith in your heart. God is faithful. Say it again. God is faithful. It doesn't matter what your situation says. God is faithful. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the newspaper said about you. We must remember that. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to. Can you understand that? That God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can actually handle. And sometimes we're thinking, how am I going to handle this one? It seems like a mountain that I can't get over. But yet God has such confidence in us that he knows that we're going to rely on him. And together, us and him, we're going to beat the thing. He's saying here, he will never present something to you that you can't handle. Him and you together can't handle. That's very, very encouraging. Going back to John 1, John 2, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And so what happens is, when temptation comes, and temptation feeds on three things in our life that he says there, our flesh, our eyes, and pride. Lust, our eyes, desires, and pride, position. Those three things will become a hook in the enemy. That doesn't mean to say that God doesn't want to do stuff for us. It doesn't mean to say that God doesn't want to promote you into a position. But never let the position define you. Always let God define you. But let me, you accept the position and move to the position and be an influence in there. And bring the kingdom of heaven there. But don't let the position become more important in your life. And then he says in John 16, 13, however, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that the Holy Spirit becomes such an important part of our Christian life, that he's there to help us, that we cry out to him, that he works and he keeps on pointing us to Jesus and helping us in all these things. And he says in John 16, 13, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. And so I want to say this. And I'm kind of like just telling you how Basil reads the Bible. That when I see you and I speak about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, God wants him to be such a part of our life. And I've got to a place where the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just for the gifts of the Spirit. But it's so part of my prayer life. Because the Bible says that Jesus intercedes for me before the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the one that points me to Jesus. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying exactly what the Spirit is hearing Jesus pray in that situation. And therefore praying in the Spirit becomes so powerful. My problem is my head doesn't understand nothing. And so after, I think, baptized in the Holy Spirit something like 40-something years ago, my head still tells me, you're talking rubbish. But you know what? I've just got to ignore him. And I've just got to realize that what God is doing is not in my head, it's in here. And I'm speaking mysteries that my head does not understand, but heaven does. And the kingdom of heaven understands everything. And then things are shifting while I'm praying in the Spirit. And I want to encourage us, make praying in the Spirit something that really is a part of your life. That you just learn, before you even open your mouth, just spend time praying in the Spirit. When you're driving in the car, before you're going into that business meeting, wherever you're going, before you're going to go and sit with somebody and talk to them, pray in the Spirit. Just allow God to work as you pray in the Spirit. I tell you, things shift in the heavenlies when you and I are praying in the Spirit. Verse 13, deliver us from evil. Or deliver us from the evil one. So, the enemy came to separate us. We know that. Jesus came and undid that. He came and undid, he destroyed and disconnected us from the work of the enemy. And in 1 John 3:8 it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. Why? That he might destroy the works of the evil one. And so Jesus declared on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. Deliver us from the evil one. How many of you remember that song? You might give away your age now. I've been delivered, oh praise the Lord. I've been delivered by His word. The chains of sin are broken. I've been delivered, oh praise the Lord. Huh? Are you serious? Where did you people get born again? Sure. I love it. The chains of sin are broken. I've been delivered, oh praise the Lord. I'm not bound by sin any longer. Oh yes, sin somehow entangles itself. But I tell you what, I quickly run back and say, Father, forgive me. Put it right. And I live free in Jesus' name. And then coming close to an end now, and then John in verse 13 says, your kingdom, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. Jesus points everything back to the Father. In Isaiah 48:11, God says this, I will not give my glory to another. So when you and I are experiencing the power of God, we're seeing things happen, we say, yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the power. We just reflect it all back to Him. He just uses humble servants like you and I. And then it lands in verse 13, forever, amen. Amen means so be it. Sealed. So be it. Now you need to understand that God watches over His word. He doesn't watch over your and my clever ideas. He watches over His word. And so it's so important that when you and I are praying, pray as much word as you can. The devil, did you know the devil's not scared of you at all? Did you know that? The only thing that scares him is the word that you have on the inside of you. And the reason why that scares him is because when you and I open our mouth, we send the word. And it's the word that defeated him. Remember, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word defeated him. And so therefore, when we present the word, he has to run. He has to run. I've given you a lot of information tonight. I think I'm going to stop there. So I'm asking you tonight, will you and I take our prayer level just to another click up? Amen? We're starting tomorrow, just kind of like doing some stuff, making a bit of sacrifice, centering our focus on Him. I said to the eldership, I'm really trusting that God's going to break things over your life, over the church, in your families, in your working environments. Things are going to change because God's about to show you how much He loves you and I living His word. We love His word. I'm just going to say amen there. Hallelujah. We worship you. Come on, let's pray. We worship you, Jesus. Worship team, do you know that Jesus be at the center of all? Brennan, Vajay? Jesus at the center of it all. No? What planet do I come from? Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it'll always be you, Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it'll always be you, Jesus. Sing it again. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it'll always be you, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we bow before the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. We thank you for the difference that you've made in our life. We thank you, you're the one that breaks sin over our life. We thank you, you're the one that changes us. We thank you. You're the one that's planned a great destiny for every single one of us. And we thank you, God, that you're moving, and we stand upon your word in Philippians 1:6, that you who began a good work will bring it to completion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the prayer that you gave us in your word that helps us, gives us ammunition, Father, on how to be able to pray things through and to see your hand move in it just in a whole nother way. It's not a magic formula, but it's ammunition in our hands. And we're so thankful for your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you that, Father, you're willing and working your great pleasure in our life. And we commit ourselves to you as for the next 2 days, that, Lord, we're going to create a lifestyle of seeking you, honoring you, magnifying you, being an instrument in your hand. We want to live there every single day of our life. We worship your name, Jesus. We worship your name, Jesus. And so I'm asking that you'd help us. And many of us maybe are struggling. Maybe our lives are dry right now. But I thank you for the rain of the Spirit of God. Will you come and rain on your people, Jesus? Will the times of refreshing come? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. And believers, I'm asking you, will you just pray in the Spirit? If you're sitting in this place tonight and you have never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you've heard right in the beginning where he said, his kingdom come, his will be done. And that comes and it starts through salvation, that you and I bow our knee and accept Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. And I'm asking you, maybe you've been to church regularly. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family, but I'm asking the question, have you personally made a decision for Jesus Christ? You maybe know about him. Been to weddings, funerals, Christmases, Easters, that kind of stuff. But you've never made that decision for yourself. And I'm asking tonight, if that's you, Spirit of God's touching you, will you respond to him? The reason why he's touching you is because he loves you. He's calling you back to himself. He created you for his purposes. Living outside of that will be a life of serious frustrations. Or maybe you're another category that you did give your life to Jesus at a stage. Stuff's happened. And right now you know that you're not in a good place. You haven't really been honoring God and God has not been number one. And you're also sensing that there's a tugging in your heart. It's time to come back. If you fall into one of those two categories, can I ask you, will you just quickly put up your hand? I'm going to pray with you and for you. Is there somebody in this room tonight? You're saying, yes, thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. You can put your hand down, man. Thank you. Is there anybody else? You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift that you will ever give yourself. Here's the good news. Jesus doesn't worry about what you've done. He's just wanting you to respond. And I love reading the Bible because it says that when we ask God to forgive us our sin, he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness and he remembers it no more. He throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's in a straight line and never ever meet. That's how much he loves you. He holds no record of our past. That's what God wants to do in your and my life. Is there anybody else in this room you're saying yes to Jesus Christ? Yes to Jesus Christ. If there's a fight that's going on the inside, I'm asking you, would you just yield to the Lord? Anybody else? Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. Sorry I'm holding on over here, but I sense there's just someone else. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Great. Can I ask everybody to stand, please? The Bible says this, that when one person comes to know Jesus Christ, the whole of heaven rejoices. because this is the biggest miracle that you'll ever see in your life. We love seeing the dead raised. We love seeing all those amazing. But the one that heaven stands up and applauds is when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ. So ma'am, I want to ask you, I don't want to embarrass you, but can I ask you to come to the front, please? Come on, let's give Jesus the greatest praise. Who did you come with? My goodness, you're a brave lady. Why don't you look at me? Then you don't have to look at all those people. Okay, so that's great. Ma'am, thank you so much for coming. I trust that what's happened with you tonight is going to change your life forever. And because God loves you, He's put such value on you. Now, I don't know what is it that caused you to come here and not know anybody. But I want to tell you, that's amazing how God is. He loves you. So we're going to lead you in a prayer. Can I do that? Will you... Everybody's going to pray it with you, okay? So will you close your eyes, forget about them, and just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and my Savior. Will you forgive me of my sin? Will you take my life? And will you use it for you? I love you, Jesus. Amen. Father, I pray for her tonight. I want to thank you that heaven would invade her right now. From the top of her head to the sole of her feet, I pray that every shackle that the enemy has put in her life will be shattered by the name of Jesus, because you beat him at the cross and you said you came to set us free. So I speak your life into her right now. I pray that, Lord, when she reads your word, something's going to come alive in her. Many things she doesn't understand, but I thank you that the people that are going to surround her are going to be such an inspiration to her in Jesus' name. Now, Father, will you order her steps? Will you just cause her life to be a life that will radiate your goodness, your mercy, and your grace? We bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wonderful. This